Tonight's passage is going to be Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 35 through 41. So I just want to let you know about that. But as you're turning there, just a question. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, it would just be nice if God would just speak to me. And I could hear what he wants me to do. I could hear his voice. And I remember growing up oftentimes really wanting that. Well, I want to share with you a time that God did speak to me, but not in the way I expected. I was 19 years old, and my grandfather lived down in the Virgin Islands in his boat that looked like it was ready to sink. It was a really old boat. So I went down there for a couple weeks, and so while I was staying on the boat with him and visiting, he had a small dinghy with a little outboard, and I'd use that to get back to the island. We were basically had the boat moored in a harbor there. And being the adventurous, indestructible 19-year-old that I was, I thought, I'm going to go explore around the island. So I take the little dinghy, I go out of the harbor, and I go out of the safety of the harbor. And let me tell you, the ocean down there is a lot different than Lake Winnipesaukee, okay? Suddenly, these waves appeared. They were massive, and the boat is starting to roll up and back and forth, and I'm getting really nervous as I'm starting to hear the little outboard starting to sputter, and then I suddenly realized, hey, I'm in trouble, and I felt like a little grain of sand in the seashore, just so powerless, and so, you know, God was speaking to me something about who he is and my dependency on him, and he was speaking to me through nature because I realized that I was in a lot of trouble. And so fortunately, before the ship went down, you know the proverbial saying, when the ship's going down, who do you call to? You call to the Lord, right? That's how the Lord is speaking to me. I'm speaking to him. Lord, please save me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to be a better Christian and just everything, right? And so, anyways, I managed to make it back into the harbor. But you know, God, he does speak to us various ways. One of the ways is that he does speak to us through nature. And sometimes we need a bit of nature to remind us about the power and sovereignty of God. And so in tonight's passage in Mark that we're going to look at, we're going to see where the disciples learn something about the power and majesty of God through nature, but they're also going to learn about the power and majesty of the Son, and in a way that they were completely caught by surprise. And I think we'll see that there's some real good lessons for us today in this passage. So starting in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, this is God's holy and inspired word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word tonight, which is a blessing to us. Help us to receive it, to learn from it. May your spirit be upon us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I love reading about the miracles that Jesus did. Don't you? But sometimes what happens, we have so many of these accounts in the gospel. We can read a passage like this, be in awe, and then we move on to the next story. But oftentimes there's a lot of lessons for us in life that are in these accounts. And in this one, I think there's a few valuable lessons. One, we see the disciples. They learn about how God speaks. He speaks through nature. And he was speaking loud and clear to them. They were absolutely terrified, weren't they? They realized how small they were. They were like me in the Virgin Islands, okay? Except they had Jesus in the back. So they're a little better off than I was when I was there. So they learned about that. But then they also learned about when Jesus speaks. And they saw authority that he had that they, even though they'd seen all these miracles take place already, they were still caught by surprise, as we read in the end of that passage. And then thirdly, they certainly learned that Jesus is teaching them a valuable lesson in this whole thing, and that is about faith and trust. And these are all things that are valuable to us today as well. But as we take a look at what happens here, first, we see that Jesus, he's on this boat. He was teaching the crowds. He would often do that. And we find that there wasn't just one boat, but there were several boats. And Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And of course, you know, there's this great storm that comes up. Now, to the disciples, I'm sure it just looked like a very random, unplanned thing. But with God, is anything ever unplanned? Never, right? God plans. There's nothing in this universe that takes place outside the plan of God. There isn't a set of molecules in this universe that are outside the plan of God. This storm was not outside the plan of God. He had it intended from the very beginning. But anyhow, this storm comes up, and it's on the Sea of Galilee. Anybody here been to Israel before? Not me. I would really like to go. But the Sea of Galilee, it's a big, big lake. It's about 15, 20 miles across, and it's circular. And there's mountain ranges around it, and the topography is very unusual. So what happens is a wind tunnel effect can take place. The winds will just blast out of nowhere, coming through the mountain passes, and these storms will kick up. And even today, people have to be very careful. So here is this storm that comes up, and it's a furious one, as we read in verse 7. And what happens is the boats are nearly getting swamped. There's waves coming in them. And it's not just one boat, but there's several. And everybody is very terrified. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping, right? It says that he was sleeping on a cushion. Now, this must have been one comfortable cushion. It was like one of those My Pillows or something. I don't know. But he was able to sleep even though there's this massive storm going on. And but that does actually say something valuable to us about the humanity of Christ, right? Jesus had divine, he's the Son of God, but he assumed a human nature. But when he assumed a human nature, he allowed himself to have the boundaries of humanity that we live in too, right? If Jesus was hungry, he had to eat. If he was tired, he had to sleep, and he was very tired in this case. But of course, Jesus was different from us in one critical thing. He was without what? He was without sin, right? But Jesus, in his humanity, is exhausted, and he's sleeping. And the disciples, they're just overwhelmed by the storm and bewildered that Jesus is just sleeping through all this. And then they shout out to him, "Teacher! Don't you care if we drown?" And so they realize, hey, Jesus is here. He can help us, but he's just sleeping. Now, on the one hand, they did the right thing. They went to Jesus. And that's always something we should do. When we are in need, we go to the Lord. But look at the way that they went to the Lord. They went to the Lord in such and such a way where they're really rebuking him. Don't you care about us? Right? So, this storm comes up. The first thing that we see is that God so often speaks through nature. And so what God is communicating to these disciples, a very valuable lesson, is their dependency on God, their dependency on him, and their dependency in particular on Christ. And, you know, one of the things that's very valuable for us is we are very blessed to have revelation from God. Now, in theology, we kind of have two different categories that we use for revelation. On the one hand, we have what we call general or special revelation. I mean, a general revelation or natural revelation. So that means that we can see by what God has made or see the things of this universe that he's created, they proclaim his glory, right? But then there's something else that we call special revelation, which is the revelation that we have in God's Word that comes from His Son that teaches us about Him. Now, as much as we can look at a tree and marvel and know that God made it, it does not tell us the way of salvation, does it? But God's Word does. One of the things in our culture today, our culture completely ignores what nature says about God. We're all familiar with Psalm 19, and I'll just read a few verses from that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. The words to the ends of the world. So what is that saying? It is saying how when we look at nature, God speaks to us through what we see. And we can recognize God's glory in it. Amazingly today, when people look at nature, they don't see God anymore, right? We look at nature and it's like, whoa, it made itself, right? And of course, that's an absurdity to us. I remember hearing there was a Southern Baptist preacher. It was in a black church that I went to once. And I'll never forget just all the energy that was in that worship service. But the preacher came up and he was speaking about this passage. And he was saying how, you know, you hear these people and they say that everything that we see made itself. And so this was his apologetic scientific explanation, which I thought was very good. He said, when you can explain to me how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk, and it can do it all by itself, then maybe I'll listen to you. And I thought, you know what? That was so simple but brilliant. But God speaks through nature, and God oftentimes speaks through the circumstances that nature brings upon us, and God oftentimes speaks through the very storm. And that's what's going on right here. The disciples, they recognize their dependency on God, and they call out to Him. They call out to Jesus. And of course, that's a lesson for us when we are in a storm. And a lot of times, the storms in life, they're not just weather-related, are they? We can be living in all kinds of stormy weather. Maybe it be difficulty at work, or at home, or trouble we're having with relationships, or with our health, or whatever it might be, whatever that storm may look like. Who should we go to? Who should we be trusting in those circumstances? Christ, right? So the disciples, they call out to Jesus, and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And so they're looking to the Lord, and they're thinking, they're, even though Jesus is right there in the boat with them, they're thinking that He's not there with him because Jesus isn't doing anything. But so oftentimes, that's what it can be like with the storms that we have in our own lives, where things are just not lining up. We're going through great difficulty and trials and whatnot, and we can doubt that Jesus is there when He's really right in the boat with us all along. But Jesus, in His mercy and grace, first He rebukes the wind and the waves, but then He also gives them a bit of a rebuke, doesn't He? He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And so Jesus takes the occasion to teach them about the necessity of faith and how important it is for us to have it. And when we think about faith, when Jesus is saying, "Where is your faith?" He's saying, I am here with you, and you're calling out to me in this way with all of this doubt. When He's saying, "Where is your faith?" He is saying, "Where is your trust?" Right? Because that is what faith is. Faith is knowledge and trust. He is calling them out to that very thing. And He's saying, "I am here." And so then Jesus, of course, performs this great miracle, and he calls out to the wind and to the waves. Notice what he says. He rebukes them, and he says, "Quiet, be still." Now, in the Greek, that word for quiet, it's the Greek word siopa that we get the English word silence from. And when Jesus rebukes the storm, actually the Greek construction, it is, "You be silent." That's exactly how it's written in the Greek. And Jesus, when he says that, what happens? Does the storm gradually go away? No. Everything instantly becomes calm. The wind stops. The waves dissipate. And everything, as we read, becomes completely calm. And so Jesus, he is teaching them. He is teaching the disciples to not doubt, but to put their trust and their faith, both of those things which are one and the same, in him. And of course, this is a very important thing for us to do in our lives, is when we go to the Lord, to go not with doubt, right? Doubt is the opposite of faith, isn't it? But to not go with doubt, but to go to Christ with faith and trusting in him. And so for ourselves today, how this applies to us, well, I think there's a couple of things that stand out. Just as the disciples are called to put their faith in Christ and to trust him, even in the midst of the worst storm, even though their lives are in peril, what does he do? What does this mean for us? Is to do the same thing, regardless of our circumstances, is to trust in God's will. So we are to trust in God's will, whether we be in safety or in danger. We are to trust in God and his will, whether we be in bad health or good health, whether we be in plenty or in need, regardless of the circumstances, we put our faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul, he writes in the book of Philippians something that really connects to this. And of course, the book of Philippians is a book that is a very joyful book, isn't it? What's the famous verse that we have? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice," right? You know, when Paul repeats himself, he's really trying to convey something for us to have sink in. But what was Paul doing at the time when he said those things, when he wrote this beautiful letter to the Philippians? Was he out on a vacation? No, he was in prison. And in fact, we find that when he wrote this, that it wasn't just a mere house arrest. He was literally chained to a Roman soldier 24/7. They would do shifts, but he was allowed to write letters and receive some visitors. And so Paul, without his freedoms and being in circumstances probably much worse than any of us have been in, right? What is his attitude? His attitude, "I don't know what God is doing and I'm very frightened"? No, his attitude was, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." But here's the thing. It's so easy sometimes to know what we're supposed to do, or for the pastor to say, "This is all you got to do. Just trust in the Lord," or "Just do this and do that." But I want to take a look to see what Paul says. And it really connects to this passage that we read here in Mark. So turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And just going to look at a couple of verses here. Verse 12 and 13. "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." So now, Paul, he's saying something. He's learned the secret to doing this. Is this something that we struggle with as believers? Trusting in God regardless of the circumstances. That's what Paul is essentially talking about. If you're like me, the answer is yes. You know, it is so easy for the circumstances in life to put my frame of mind in a place of distrust rather than trust, or doubt rather than faith. But here Paul, he explains the secret. And the secret is this, verse 13, one of the most famous verses and one of my favorites in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So where is the source come from for Paul that he can trust God in all circumstances? Does it come by virtue of the strength of his own willpower? No. It comes from Christ. The disciples in the storm, they had Jesus right there in the boat. And Jesus gave them every reason, if they did not trust him before, to certainly trust him then. He commands the wind and the waves to stop, and they do. And then when the disciples see this, they're in awe. Remember, they've seen all of these miracles that Jesus has been doing. He's been giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the lame have been walking. And but yet, even in the midst of all of those miracles, they still did not recognize the true power and authority that Jesus had as the Son of God, our Maker, our Creator, and our Savior. And so when he commands the elements and they obey, that was a awakening moment for them. So God, he does speak to us through various ways, doesn't he? He speaks to us through nature, and we see the beauty of nature, and it testifies to the glory of God. And even as we look at nature, sometimes the storms and the difficulties of nature, those testify to the glory of God and our dependency upon him. And then God speaks to us in a very special way, that special revelation, through his word, through his Son. And so we have everything that we need to know who Christ is, how we are saved through him, and we have everything we need to know about his power and authority, that same power and authority that he used to command the wind and the waves and they stop, will be the same power and authority that he uses for us to raise us from the dead because of his salvation that he has purchased with his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It is so easy for us to minimize Christ, but let us not do that. What does the enemy want us to do? The enemy wants us to doubt. The enemy wants us to look anywhere else when we are in trouble or we're in the storms of life. Just don't look to Jesus. Oh, that storm, that's because God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. You've used up all your strikes, or whatever the story might be. The enemy does not want us to put our faith and hope in Christ. But what we see here is God's words teaching us to do precisely that, and to recognize who Jesus is. He is our Maker. He is our Savior. He cares about us. He gave his life for us. And so we trust him. And so this morning, this evening actually, if you are going through a difficult storm in your own life, and maybe you're not going through a difficult storm, but one thing we can be sure about Christians, they come, don't they? And when it does, what's the remedy? What is our response? What should we do? Well, we go to Christ and we trust him. And then if you say, well, I'm struggling with trusting in Christ in these things, well, we bring that to him too. What did the man say in the Bible when Jesus offered to heal his child? Jesus asked the man, do you have faith that I can do this? And the man said, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. So we can even bring that to the Lord, and he will help us. And so let's remember the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Let's go to him in prayer.